give God a shout of praise today. Come on. And just one more time, if you're brand new with us, can we just clap and welcome you today? Man, thanks for being here today. Man, Lindsay and I, we would be so honored if we could be your pastors. But this is a safe place. This is a great church. I'm so proud of you for this church, for all that God is doing. And we're in the middle of a collection of talks entitled Moving Forward, Moving Forward. And how many were here last week? How many were here in the past couple weeks? You've been bringing your journals and all that. So let's get your forward journals out, and let's take some notes today, and let's get our Bibles out today. And then you can scan the QR code as well. If you want to follow along, we partner with YouVersion Bible app. And so we got some notes in there. And if you're note takers, all right, you're note takers, that means you're leaders. Amen. As you take notes, I'm going to tell you the title in a little bit. So I know the OCD people are like, you know, give me a title. So I'm going to talk a little bit. We're going to go through scripture, and then we're going to see what God's going to do today. Amen. And so let's go to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Got your Bibles out. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. We are jumping in. And I got to say, I'm going to say it again in my message, but Lorenzo did such a terrific job last Sunday. So good. And I admit, I was watching online, and it was just, come on, amen. And come on, somebody. I wanted to throw my phone. It was so good. And so I'm so glad you were here. But then it's, what was Wednesday night? The follow-up questions, the discussions, the conversations that I heard that were taking place are so impactful. I love it. And so make sure you join us on Wednesday. Connect one day as well. Let's go to Mark chapter 4, verse 35. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus in the boat, and they started out, leaving the crowds behind the other boats, and all the other boats followed. But soon, a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. Come on, that's my Savior right there. The disciples woke him up shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." You know, I tried that this week. It didn't work. "Silence, be still." Suddenly, the wind stopped. There was a great calm. Then he asked him, "Why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" The disciples were absolutely terrified again and said, "Who is this man?" They asked each other, "Even the wind and the waves obey him." Obey him. Today's going to be a good word, good day. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Jesus, I pray for information today to become revelation that leads to transformation. Change us, Lord, from the inside out. And God, I have a personal prayer that may we be as zealous and as excited for the kingdom of heaven in our worship, in our serving, in our praise as the New York Knicks. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 I'll leave your car alone outside, though. Come on. Now, I want to break this down. These are not tourists here on the boat with Jesus. These are the disciples, but also the disciples are fishermen. They are professionals. This is what they've done. Same lake, same body of water, same task, same job. And so when Jesus says, "Get the boat, we're going to the other side," it's the same muscle. It's the same memory. There is no question in their minds that they can get Jesus to the other side. And so when the storm shows up and the professionals are scared, listen to me, it's like a flight attendant. If they're scared, I'm scared, all right? Like if they're scared, you know it's a bad flight. Same thing with the fishermen. They are scared. So this isn't like, you know, they're being wimps. It's not just a little thing. They are literally afraid they're going to die. They're afraid they're going to die. But here is Jesus sleeping through the storm. If you don't know me, I'm hard of hearing. I'm completely deaf in this ear. I'm 60% deaf in this ear. I got a lot of hardware on. Come on, I got glasses, microphone, and a hearing aid. And so my ears are like holding things up this morning. And but I'm deaf, and I have a hard time hearing. And one time in Minnesota, I was asleep on the second story of my grandfather's cabin, and there was I woke up, and there was lightning and thunder. And I said, it's a storm, no big deal. Grew up in the Midwest, I know about tornadoes, know about storms, no big deal. Went back, took my hearing aids out, went back to sleep. I don't know if it was an hour or two later, my brother, my parents are waking me up, and I'm like, let me sleep, let me sleep. And they're trying to get a hold of me. I couldn't hear them. My hearing aids are out, and I look at them, and they're going, that's all I hear. And I go, leave me alone, and they point up. And I go, what? They point up, and I look up. There's a tree in my room. A tree went through the roof, through my ceiling, and there's a tree in my room. And I looked up, and I said, oh, I better put my hearing aids on. I better. I slept through the storm because I was clueless. But Jesus is sleeping on a boat with a pillow, not out of ignorance or cluelessness, but out of security. Out of security. It's the same action, but there's the opposite source. Look at Mark chapter 4. The disciples woke him up shouting, teacher, and I want you to catch this. When you read scripture, you really got to slow down and read. You got to really say what's being said. And the disciples wake him up. And they said, teacher, don't you care? I've prayed those prayers before. Lord, don't you care? Lord, don't you, like, come on, can I be real here today? Is there anyone else that are just, you're just messed up like I am, you know? Like, hey, Lord, what's up? But then look what they say. Don't you care that we're going to drown? Don't you care that, you can put it up. Don't you care that we are going to drown? Don't you care that we are going to drown? Thank you. Not a word about him. They didn't say, Lord, wake up. You're going to die. You're going to drown. Lord, save yourself. They said, we. They said, us. That they're not saying you don't exist because he's right there in the boat. What they're really saying is you're not going to do anything, so it's on us. If you're not going to make it stop, then we're going to do whatever we can to make it stop. Control or fear or anxiety. So I want you to see this in Titus chapter 1, verse 16. Such people claim they know God, but they deny him by the way they live. So the title of my message today is the practical atheist. The practical atheist. See, a theoretical atheist says there is no God. And can I just tell you, I'm glad you're here. If you're on a journey of I don't believe in God, but I have questions. I'm glad you're here. Come on, we can clap for that. I'm glad you're here. This is a safe place to be. It's the place to grow and to learn and to ask questions. But for the rest of us, many of us, we are practical atheists. What is a practical atheist? I'm glad you asked. It is someone who believes that God exists, but we live like he does not. I believe, yes, thank you, Lord. I'm going to church, doing the church things. But Monday through Saturday, do I truly believe that he is Lord of my life? Even pastors, I'll be honest with you, even pastors, like I've had to ask myself the same question, that I know God is real, but do I do ministry like he isn't? I know God is real, but do I live every single day like he's not real? Or is he actually Lord of my life, my decisions, my mind, my body, my actions? Man, I'll be honest with you. We believe in Jesus until the storm comes. Come on, I don't know if that's anybody else, but that's I felt that to my core before. That is a practical atheist. It's all of us. And listen to me about storms. I heard a preacher say this. There's really three options for storms. Either option one, you're heading into a storm. Option two, you're in a storm. Or option three, you're coming out of a storm. We all have storms. It's not if, it is when. So when a storm
comes, how do I lean in and trust God? How do I lean in and not just wake up and frantic, but how do I be still and know He is God? So here's the question you've taken notes today. How do we move a practical atheist back into a follower of Jesus in the middle of a storm? Because that's what moving forward is all has been about. It has been about, I believe in Jesus, but it's an entirely different thing to follow Jesus. I believe in Him, but will I give Him my life? I believe in Him, but will I go to Connect one day today, even though I'm hungry? Come on, somebody, right? Will I do the things that God wants me to do, or do I just like believing that there is a God? So number one, we must remind ourselves, and this is, I'm telling you, I might get in trouble for this one, but number one, storms aren't always bad. And I hate it. Because here's what we believe a lot of times. When we're in a storm, many of us believe, I must have done something wrong. I must have disobeyed somewhere. God must be absent. But how many of you know that's often a lie? And the lie is that it feeds the practical atheist. Let's look at Mark chapter 4, verse 35 again. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. So when I read this, it's his fault. Come on, somebody. Oh, my wife's laughing. I like that. Listen to me. They didn't sail into the storm by disobedience. They sailed into the storm by obedience. Their obedience brought them into the storm. The storm wasn't them stepping out of God's will. The storm was stepping into God's will. And so storms aren't always bad. Sometimes the storm is the will of God. Sometimes storms is the will of God. God will use a storm. He'll never waste a good storm. Come on, God will use scenarios and situations. You know, Genesis 50, 20. Whatever the devil intended for evil, God turns around for good. But God will always use a good situation, a good storm. Look at Joseph, slavery to prison. The storm was the road to the throne. That rhymes because I'm a good preacher. Abraham, years of waiting. The storm was in the waiting is where faith got built. And he messed up many times. Egypt, Hagar, Sarah, all the things. Plenty of mess up because he was in the storm. Look at James, the weird half-brother of Jesus. James chapter 1. Consider it an opportunity for great joy. Excuse me, James? Great joy when you face troubles of many kinds. Laying on a little thick there, James. Consider it a blessing. Not joy like, ha ha, my life's messed up. But consider it a joy that when you face troubles of many kinds. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Man, I know some storm-proof Christians in this room. Come on, somebody. I'm like, are you okay? They're like, God is good. You know what I mean? Like, I want that kind of faith. But you know what that kind of faith is? It's the endurance. It's faith that has been tried and tested and mother approved. Come on, sorry. That they have joy in the storm because the storm is doing something in you. Because it's doing something in you. It is, Lord, get this stuff out of me. Lord, I want to trust you. Man, because sometimes the storm is the proof that you're exactly where he wants you. Now, there's two things I've realized. I wrote this down this week. That there's two things I've realized that God does. And I don't like one of them. And the first thing he does is he saves us from trouble. I love that. Amen. Saves us from trouble. Like, Lord, help me! Pulls me out. Like, come on. His hand is not too short that it cannot save. But the second thing he does is sometimes he saves us in trouble. And he gets us through trouble. Yeah, I walk through the valley of death. He still uses the storm. You know, Lindsay and I were even just talking this week and even last night of our adoption story. In the storm, if many of you know our story of going to adopt, family changed their mind, lost him, and then later he came back. And that storm, can I just tell you, it drove us somewhere beautiful. Drove us to counseling, to mental health, to healing. It drove us into a whole new area of trust in God's word. Trust to know, okay, Lord, you're in control. This is your way and your plan. And suddenly, out of nowhere, there was a text, do you want him back? Suddenly, peace be still. The wind stopped. We adopted him. Listen to me. The storm wasn't the enemy. It was the door. It was the door. Lindsay and I, we are better people today because of the storms. Because of the storms. But listen to me. When the storm comes, you can either lean in or you can get out of the boat. And you can abandon this entire thing. You can deconstruct and say, forget. Or you can say, I need to learn something through this. What is God teaching me in this? God didn't save us from it. He saved us in it. You know, Lorenzo, come on, again, last week, great message, Lorenzo. Great message. Such a good message. And I am so grateful that over 9 years ago, 9 years ago, when Lorenzo lost his grandfather, which was like a dad to him, and he and Alita, they hit rock bottom, and one day they looked up and said, I think, you remember the Bosmas? Our really cool youth pastor with big hair and sideburns, kind of chunky, about 280 pounds, you know, on the east side, let's go. I think he started a church. And so let's go to like five churches, but let's go to Avenue First. And I'm so glad when they walked through the doors, God hit them between the eyes. God kept them here. Come on. It's amazing. That is a storm. But listen to me. Jesus, we love a good resurrection story, but Jesus used a death to save a life. He used a death to save the life. We would rather have the resurrection, but God already has eternity in mind. He's playing a long game. Man, he's looking at kingdom. And so the first thing a practical atheist does to turn back into disciple is you stop seeing storms as rejection and start asking, what's God? God, what are you doing in this? And man, that takes a true follower of Christ. And I don't I'll be honest with you. I don't necessarily throw that question at myself right away. I'm like the disciples. What's going on? What's wrong? What did I do? Forgive me if I, just in case I've sinned. Like, what is it? Lord, don't you care? And then the Holy Spirit's like, Jeremy. And I'm like, well, Lord, what are you trying to do in me through the storm? But that brings me to number two. Storms expose us. Expose us. Can I just say, storms don't do anything to us. They just expose us. They reveal things inside of us. The storms don't make us a practical atheist. It reveals that we already are, because calm water actually hides what's inside of you. Yeah. You're only as sick as your secrets. Praise the Lord. How you doing, Pastor Jeremy? God is good all the time. But what if I was real on the inside and say, man, I have a lack of trust. Man, I'm a control freak. Man, I got my ideas, or I think I got better ideas than God. Because storms expose. I was just kidding, by the way. Someone, I don't have any good ideas. Because they knew Jesus was there, but they didn't know who he was. They didn't know truly what he could do. That's why they were terrified when Jesus said, peace be still. And the storm immediately stopped. They were terrified because they didn't realize the power that Jesus had. This is our entire series of moving forward. Believing in Jesus versus following Jesus. Because the storm just reveals who we are. Look at Mark chapter 4, verse 37. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. So here's the disciples. I want you to paint this picture. This is the picture I was trying to paint in my mind as I'm reading the scripture. Expert fishermen. Waves coming into the boat. They're about to sink. They're probably bailing water out. They're probably throwing things off out overboard. Throw equipment off. Man, throw things like our prized possessions. Get it off the boat. Let's bail water out of this boat. We have done everything that we know as experts of the trade, as expert boatsmen, as they know all the ins and outs of this. It wasn't that they were lazy. It wasn't that they didn't try. It's because they didn't trust. It's because they didn't trust. Their problem was that the problem wasn't that they never stopped working. It was that they worked like it depended on them. And can I just talk about trust for just a minute? Is this okay? I got time. Can I talk about trust? I want to be completely honest with you. I grew up in church. I grew up hearing the trust scriptures. My mama had the coffee mugs with the trust slogans and the verses, and trust the Lord with all your heart. You know what I mean? Like, I've seen it all, heard it many times in my life, and I'm going to be honest with you. A lot of times, I sit back, and I hear trust as, sit back and do nothing, trust Jesus. Is that okay to say? Does that make sense? Like, what are you doing? Just trust in the Lord. Well, your house is on fire. Yeah, Mom, maybe God's going to do something about it. Just trust him. My wife would be like, get water, get the hose. I'm like, it's fine, trust Jesus. Like, what is that? But waiting on God, listen to me, waiting on God does not mean inactivity. It means that your hope is in him. And that fits perfectly with working hard. I love what Augustine said. Augustine said, work like it depends on you, but pray like it depends on God. So there's a partnership. It is like a farmer. It is like a farmer who is waiting for God to plow the field, and he's waiting for God to put seeds in the field, and he's waiting for God to grow the fields, but then he's upset when there's no harvest because the farmer didn't do anything. So I wonder if we change our perspective. Maybe it's not work less, maybe it's even work harder, but we work with hope. It is not, I hope I'm awesome. It's, I hope I'm successful. Man, I hope God's going to meet all my needs. I hope God's going to do exceedingly and abundantly more. I hope that God's going to do something good. Amen. Can I just say that? I hope that God's going to do something good, whether it's in me or around me, in my situation, or with my family. Laziness is not faith. Now, yes, Scripture says, be still and know he's God. Yeah. Yes, waiting is not inactivity either. When we wait, that is faith as well. But I want to share this, that anxiety often says it's on me. But trust says it's on him, and I'm still going to row anyways. Right. I'm still going to fish anyways. Anxiety says, I got this, I don't need God. But trust says, I can't do this without God. I love hearing the story of Boyette, right? His boss. They pray before their shift. Let's go. Amen. That is trusting God. And there is a reason, though, that the storm exposes us so quickly. It exposes us so quickly because your brain has both an alarm system and a thinking system. So when and it's called the amygdala hijack. It's right here. And it is when your brain goes, it's when your body reacts before your brain. When danger hits, your brain doesn't think first, it reacts first. When danger hits, your alarm goes off first before the thinking part. So that's why your body responds faster or quicker than your thoughts. The amygdala hijacked, when your brain hijacks, right, the alarm grabs the wheel before your brain even knows there's a problem. I remember our first year of marriage. Lindsay and I, we got married, got a rented house. I came home late from work one night. The kitchen lights were off. I thought she was in bed. I walked through the kitchen, and my wife went, boo! And I went, ah! That's when she knew she married a real man. Come on. But it's when your body reacts before your brain. One time I was on the east side. It was late at night in the church. There's a former student, grew up on the streets, and I decided in a weak moment around midnight to scare him, so I went, boo, and he went right in the side of my head.
And I went, dude, I got you. Go outside. And when he went outside, I went, oh, my head.
What is our trigger? What do we do? What's our first reaction when there's a storm? You know the disciples was? It was, don't you care? They weren't being wicked. They're just being human. They're just being human. They said, we've done all that we know to do. And this is a bad storm. We are experts in this field. We've done all that we know that we can do. It's time to wake up Jesus. And they didn't wake him up and said, Lord, we trust you with all of our heart. Will you please wake up and make this storm stop? They woke him up and said, where you been? Don't you care? What's going on? Hear me. Your panic, and this is going to heal somebody though. Hear me. Please hear me. Hear me. Hear me. Your panic in the storm is not proof that you're faithless. It's simply proof that you're human. It's okay. It's okay. But watch how Jesus handles this. Jesus in Mark 4:40 says, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? Disciples were absolutely terrified. Who is this man? I noticed this, that Jesus, he rebuked the storm. So he gets up. He's oh, man. He gets up from a good nap. Come on, Sunday mornings, I try to go home and take a nap, but now I have an 8-year-old. And I'll tell my 8-year-old, don't wake up dad. He's exhausted. He's tired. He had church. I'm going to just sleep on the couch just for a little. Just give me 10 minutes. Just give me 30 minutes. Please, I beg him. Play Minecraft. Do whatever it is you got to do. And I'll lay there. All of a sudden, he'll wake me up. Dad, dad, dad. I'm like, what? What's the matter? He's like, Xbox controller won't work. I'm like, I'm human, y'all. But Jesus gets up and says, peace be still. Storm stops immediately. Disciples go, who is this man? Then Jesus turns to them, and then he rebukes them. I think this is a great parenting moment. This is a great leadership moment that he saves them, then he instructs them. He didn't instruct them and then save them. He didn't say, see, look at all this. Jesus, what are you? No, he said, peace be still. He stopped the storm and then he said, let's talk about it. What do we learn in it? It shows that we can retrain our mind. If we respond in fear, how do I respond by faith? If I am afraid, then why am I afraid? Is it control? Is it I don't really fully believe God can intervene, or I don't believe in miracles today, or do I believe that signs and wonders follow those who believe? Do I believe God can do a great thing in my life? And this is the difference between a believer and a disciple. And you know what the clearest sign is, I believe, between a believer and a disciple is prayer. It's prayer. It's prayer. It's prayer. Prayer is the one thing in my life that admits I can't, but he can. Because a prayerless life says, I got this. I got this. I don't need. It's been great. It's been great working with you, but you're too slow. It's great with all these things, but I need the control. But when I spend time in prayer, I spend time in his presence. And that's why number three is his presence is enough. His presence is enough. Sorry, production team, I got ahead of you, but the storm test is, will you wake Jesus with accusations? Will you simply trust his presence is enough? Is enough. Amen. You can put it up. I think that's a good test right there. Will I trust him or will I wake him up with accusations? Will I say, Lord, and hear me, he knows your heart. I believe God would rather have you speak your heart than to say, Lord, I trust you, with your heart saying, I don't trust. You know, Lord, I just, you know, I trust where you're taking me. And like, Lord, you're the one who made me. I wonder if his presence is enough. David, a man after God's own heart, who made plenty of mistakes in Psalms 46, he said, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not fear when earthquakes come, when mountains crumble into the sea, when it's 114 degrees in Las Vegas. Oof. I'm going back to Texas. Come on, somebody. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. Friends, I wrote this down this week as I read Psalms. I just wrote down the cure, the remedy, the solution. It's not calmer waters. It's his presence. It's his presence. Look at Mark chapter 4. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross over to the other side. He didn't say, let's go drown. Let's go die. He named a destination before the storm ever showed up. How many of us, we doubt the destination when the storm comes? And so Jesus said, let's cross over to the other side. That's why I tell individuals all the time, what's your burning bush? What's a moment, your altar moment when God spoke to you? What's your scripture or promise that you're standing on? Because that's the destination. The promise, God never promised us an easy trip. And I wish he does. I wish the moment you give your life to Jesus, peace be still. And everything's great and awesome and rainbows and sunshine and fruity pebbles. Come on. But it's not. Sometimes it feels like it gets worse if Jesus is not enough. The promise, he never promised us an easy trip, but the promise was, is you'll get there because Jesus is in the boat. So we just saw one storm where the disciples had panic and fear, and as I close, where Jesus said, you have little faith. But then there's another storm in Acts chapter 27 with the Apostle Paul. And in Acts chapter 27, verse 19, it says, in the following day, they took some of the ship's gear and they threw it overboard. A terrible storm raged for many days, blotting out the sun and the stars, until at last all hope was gone. No one had eaten for a long time. Finally, Paul called the crew together and said, men, you should have listened to me in the first place, and we should not have left Crete. You could have avoided all the damage and loss, but take courage. Take courage. You messed up. You didn't listen. You didn't obey. But take courage. None of you will lose your lives, even though the ship will go down. For last night, an angel of God, to whom I belong, in whom I've served, stood beside me. And he said, don't be afraid, Paul, for you'll surely stand trial before Caesar. What's more, God, in his goodness, granted safety to everyone sailing with you. Your faith matters. So take courage, for I believe God. It will be just as he said. It'll be, think about it, storm. They're starving, it's hungry, it's insanity. Paul's over here preaching this message. And it's going to happen. It's going to be just as he said. But we will be shipwrecked on an island. But it will get worse before it gets better. Excuse me? That's not what I signed up for. I mean, I signed up for the cruise. All inclusive, all you can eat. Let's go. That's the kind of Christianity that I want. But how many know? It's about the storms. It's about the journey, not just the destination. It's not. I once worked for an evangelist. We were on an airplane, and the steward and flight attendants were scared. Major turbulence. The plane started nosediving and course correcting. And I mean, I prayed a couple times, like, Lord, just in case. And the evangelist stood up, and I was like, get your seatbelt on, Pastor. And he stood up on the plane, and he said, listen, everybody listen. And I was like, oh, no. And he said, I'm a man of God, and I'm preaching in Alabama tomorrow. so we're going to get there and we will live. And guess what? We lived. We lived. We made it. And afterwards I went, that was a little thick, Pastor. I mean, that was a little extra. Because presence doesn't promise the storm will never come. It promises you're not alone in it. You're not alone in it. You're not alone in it. And here's as I close, Mark 4:35. Jesus was sleeping on the back of the boat with a cushion. This scripture right here shows us that he is fully human. He's tired. Preaching, teaching, ministering all day. He's tired. And he wants to be comfortable. Let's go. I love a good pillow. But then when he stands up and rebukes the waves, he's fully God. King of kings, Lord of lords. Controls nature. And says, peace be still. It's the same man asleep in the boat. It's the same man who is Lord over the storm. And he's with us. He's with us. Juan Carlos Ortiz once talked about, a circus trapeze artist, about the net. The performer said the net does the obvious thing. It catches you when you fall. But it does more than that. He said, imagine there's no net. We'd be so nervous that we'd be more likely to fall if we imagined there was no net. But without a net, we wouldn't dare to do half of what we do, because we know there's a net. I dare to make two turns. Once I made three turns, thanks to the net. That when we have faith in God, I like to think we have a net. I like to think that we can dare to attempt to do big things for God. Not out of carelessness or my flesh, but out of obedience. That I wonder if we dare to be holy, if we dare to be set apart, if we dare to be obedient. Man, if we dare to go to Connect one day and share the gifts that God has given us to serve the local church. If we dare to bring a Bible to our workplace. If we dare to say, can we pray? Can we? I wonder if we dare to share our faith. That we have a net, and it's called faith. With Jesus sleeping on the boat, not out of cluelessness or oblivion, he wasn't oblivious, but it's out of security. Friends, his rest is our rest. Will you bow your heads, close your eyes for just a moment? I've asked the worship team just to give us just a minute. And then we're going to all go to Connect one day. Come on, somebody. Will you bow your heads, close your eyes for just a moment? Because my fear is we say amen. Lorenzo comes up, lets us know a few things, and then we walk out those doors. And my fear is go right back into the storm. And we forget that his rest is our rest. And we forget that he is with us. That he'll never leave you nor forsake you. And he's got a plan for your life. He has a destination in mind. And he will get you there. Whether there's storms, whether there's shipwreck, whether it gets worse before it gets better, or maybe you're fine right now. You're either in a storm, heading out of a storm, or you're about to be in a storm. It does not matter, because God is with me. So just open your hearts this morning.